Jay, good morning.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Pleasure to have you on. Now, firstly, Jay, the panel I just mentioned and your new novel, Lifelike, revolve around dystopian, post-apocalyptic type worlds. It's a very popular genre at the moment, not just in literature, but also movies, television programs and the like. What is it you think draws people towards these kind of scenarios, these rather horrible scenarios in a lot of cases?
I mean, they're not always horrible. I think the best science fiction has always been the science fiction that explores the issues of the day through the lens of the future. And the truth is that we live in a world that can be quite scary for a number of different reasons. And so dystopian fiction is a way of exploring those fears and those potentials through, you know, the safety of doing it through a book rather than actually living it through your actual life.
I seem to recall a quote about, the fantasy genre. I don't necessarily write or read fantasy because of the dragons. I read fantasy because I believe the dragons can be defeated.
Yeah, that's exactly right. G.C. Chesterton, I think, said that, yeah.
So how much does the issues of the day, and we do face a lot of issues day by day, it's kind of in our face, we can't escape it sometimes. How much does that actually inspire your scenarios, your settings?
I mean, it depends on the book that I'm writing. This latest series is definitely inspired by a number of issues that we're facing in the world today. You know, most notably the threat of nuclear war, nuclear proliferation, the spread of environmental degradation, I guess, anthropomorphized climate change, and the rise of artificial intelligence, which is a big one for me. It's a technology that's growing where we're kind of treading out into untold waters and exploring the issue of what constitutes life, what constitutes intelligence is something that's really important for me. So yeah, those are the kind of three books that I'm exploring in this series anyway. But it depends largely what I'm writing. I work on epic fantasy novels. I work on science fiction novels that are set in kind of the far future. So it really depends on which series you're talking about.
Well, looking at this series, Lifelike, based on the description that sort of takes up the front of the book, Mad Max meets X-Men meets Blade Runner, so on like this, it sounds like a bit of a kitchen sink approach to world building. How did you go about actually putting it together and making it cohesive?
I mean, every good setting starts with a single thought, a single point of difference. So if you look at, you know, Game of Thrones is a really popular one at the moment. That's essentially medieval Europe, but George R. R. Martin decided the weather patterns were going to be different, that summer would last really long and winter would last really long. That's kind of the one key change he made to that world. If you look at the Dune series by Frank Herbert, the existence of the spice, you know, that allows interstellar travel and that kind of drives the entire narrative of the story, controlling the planet that, you know, spice is mined on. So for me, you kind of start with one key point of difference and go from there. So for the Lifelike series, for me, it was the existence of these artificial humanoids, androids. They're called Lifelike in the series, and they are, for all intents and purposes, indistinguishable from human beings, but they are simply better. They are smarter, they are faster, they are stronger. And I kind of threw the idea of a being like that existing in our world into the mix, and then I go from there. So from that one key change, a whole bunch of smaller changes will tend to ripple out. But that I'm kind of exploring that one fundamental truth. For me, that's what most of the best settings do.
Speaking of the characters within this novel, a lot of post-apocalyptic dystopian works, they bring out characters that could be considered often the best and the worst of humanity, often probably the worst. How do you go about populating a world that can be so extreme with characters that still feel real?
I mean, every character is really an exploration of a part of yourself. I mean, at least so far as the characters I've created. You know, even when you're exploring villains, you're exploring, you know, probably the darker parts of your own psyche. I think the important part of making a convincing villain is that usually the best villains think they are the heroes in their own stories. You know, villains that are kind of mustache twirling and destroying things for the sake of destroying things aren't really all that convincing. But, you know, you take a villain who truly believes they're doing the right thing, that they're trying to change the world for the right reasons, that makes them far more compelling. So, yeah, I think if you come back to the idea that everyone thinks they're the hero in the story, even if you're not the protagonist, if you're the sidekick, if you're the if you're the villain, if you're some secondary character, if you think you're the hero in the narrative, then you're probably going to function in a way that people will find believable.
And just as a final point, I mean, speaking of the protagonist of this novel, the story of Lifelike, as you say, is a bit of a Romeo and Juliet sort of story from the perspective of the Juliet, Eve. We, the young adults, and you're taking part of this panel that is part of the all-day young adult event at the Sydney Festival. Young adult readers, they can often spot a fake. Given you're not a teenage girl, Jay, how did you actually get into the main character's headspace?
I mean, that's a really interesting question. It's one that I get asked a lot. I actually find it quite odd. I mean, no one has ever asked me, you know, did you find it difficult writing an insane artificial intelligence? Did you find it difficult writing a soldier in a frontline combat position? Did you find it difficult writing a police officer or a murderer? I mean, these are things that I have never been. And never will be, with all good fortune. But it really passes by without any comment. But, you know, as soon as someone starts writing outside their gender, it evokes all kinds of interest. I don't really have a good answer for that question. I think all writers, unless you're writing an autobiography, unless I'm writing a story about myself sitting on my couch with my dog writing a book, I'm stepping outside my own skin. So you just have to apply your own observations, impressions of the world that you live in. You get a good set of crit readers who will critique your work and tell you when you're slipping into stereotypes or in traditional modes of thinking, and go from there. But, I mean, as far as a man writing a woman or a woman writing a man goes, it's no different to stepping outside any skin that an author steps outside of.
Jay, best of luck with the release of the novel and obviously the panel you'll be dealing with next month as well. Absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks very much for having me, Sean. I appreciate it.